Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Praise God. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Welcome everyone, both everyone here this evening, and welcome all of you right now that's watching online. My name is Pastor Teddy Santos from BCFC, Baltimore Christian Faith Center in Randallstown, Maryland. Thank you so much for joining our Bible study here this evening. I was having a brief conversation yesterday afternoon with a sister that attends our church here. She hasn't been here for over 6 months, but she's not here because of fear of a virus. She's not here because, you know, the government is shutting everything down, or no, she's rehabilitating her ankle, her knees, her feet. So she's not very mobile, but she says that the live stream has been a complete blessing in her life, and she has been even been witnessing to people around her, and she's holding firm to the Word of God and His promise that says, all things work for the good.
Amen.
All things, everything. For those that fear the Lord, for those that fear God, for those that fear Him, whatever your translation says, and we stand by it. So whether it's at rehab, whether it's in the hospital, whether it's a caretaker, she is blessing and changing people's perspective of their outcome. And the Lord is using her. And it's a blessing to me that these live streams are a blessing to someone, so praise God for that. So thank you. Thank you for participating in this, in our Bible studies, in our Sunday morning, Sunday evening sessions, on our live stream and Wednesday evenings. And as I always say, may you hear from God. May you hear from the Lord, from His Holy Spirit. May you see Him. If in case you get a chance to come and visit us sometime here on our side, here on this side and here on that side there on the bulk header, it says, see Jesus. And we firmly stand by that. Amen. Don't see me. See our God, our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen?
Amen.
Praise God. We are going to dive on the Word today. If feasting on the Word of God is your thing, if it just happens to be your thing, well, tonight is your night. Because I'm a little bit excited about what I'm going to talk about this evening. It's a topic that is dear to my heart. It's a topic that I think about all the time. I enjoy it. I thoroughly love to see those who live this way, those who understand, those who comprehend this. But no more suspense, right? Let's get right on to it. But before we do, let's start with the opening prayer. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, we love You. Lord, we worship You, Lord. We give You all the honor and the glory and the praise. Lord, we thank You for Your presence, Lord, here this evening. Thank You so much, Lord, for dwelling here amongst us. And Lord, may Your people, Lord, hear from You, directly, Lord, from You this evening. Be glorified, Lord, in our hearts. It is in Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Amen. So I have a list of scriptures to get through this evening. And right off the bat, I'm just going to unload right now a series of scriptures. And I want you to see the common denominator in all these verses that I'm going to bring to you right now. The first one that I'm going to start out with is, before I introduce my title, right, I have to get through these verses first. And then you're probably going to figure out what my title is, because there is a common denominator in all these verses. It won't take long to figure it out. The first one on the list is Proverbs chapter 1, verses 7. Right in the beginning of Proverbs, it says this: the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. This is the first verse on the list right now. Matter of fact, this is good right here. We can keep it right there. Let's move on to the next one. Just 8 verses down the road. Chapter 9 now it says, "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the Holy One is understanding." Aha. Now, a little bit further down the street, in chapter 15, verses 33, it says this, "The fear of the Lord is the instruction of wisdom, and before honor is humility." Well, we're not done yet. Well, how about Job 28:28? What does it say? "And to man he said, behold, the fear of the Lord, that is wisdom. And to depart from evil is understanding." That's good old Job. But you think I would finish right here, right? Well, absolutely not. You didn't actually think so, did you? Well, let's jump over to Psalms. Psalms chapter 36, verses 1 through 4 says this, "An oracle within my heart concerning the transgressions of the wicked." This is what it is. "There is no fear of God before his eyes, for he flatters himself in his own eyes, when he finds out his iniquity and when he hates. The words of his mouth are wickedness and deceit. He has ceased to be wise and to do good. He devises wickedness, starting over in verse 4. He devises wickedness on his bed. He sets himself in a way that is not good. He does not abhor evil." All right. I'm pausing for right now. I'm not done for now. I'm just taking a break. I'm giving you also a break too. Amen. So, I just gave you 5 different scriptures right now. What is the common denominator in all these scriptures? The fear of the Lord. That is exactly right. And do you understand why now I didn't give you my title right away? What do you think my title for this evening should be? The fear of the Lord. We're going to keep it short. The fear of the Lord. And the fear of the Lord, to me, has huge, 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 I would say, it expands. Well, anyways, I'm not going to get ahead of myself because you're going to understand the fear of the Lord this evening. But I tell you one thing. The fear of the Lord is a wonderful, wonderful, wonderful thing. And it's also a very wonderful thing. It's a beautiful thing, I should say. When you witness someone who has the fear of God. Oftentimes I hear preachers ask this question, and ministers and evangelists, they say, if you had one thing to write on your tombstone, if there's one thing that you want to be remembered by, what would you want it to be? And the most popular answer, the most common answer to this question is this. Such and such, right? First and last name, a man after God's own heart. Everybody wants to have that, to be known by that, right? Everybody wants to be named a man after God's own heart. And that is quite a privilege. That is quite an honor to get to that status. But you got to work for that, right? It just doesn't come to you. If you were to ask me the same question, sure, I'd probably hop on a bandwagon either. But most importantly, the first thing that comes to mind is, I would like to be remembered as the man that feared God. That is my ultimate compliment. The man who feared God. He feared the Lord. And you know, biblical fear of God runs the range from a mild respect through a deep, abiding awe and also sheer terror. Sheer terror. A terror that causes the skin to crawl, the hair to stand on end, the throat to release a scream, even the bowels to move, or the body to faint, or even collapse as a result from the fear of the Lord, as it's mentioned in the book of Isaiah. Can I bring to your attention right now Isaiah 6:5? Let me show you an example of fear of the Lord. So I said, woe is me. Ooh, woe is me, for I am undone. Because I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips. My eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. Oh, man. Poor me. Woe of me. I am done. Just from the sight of the Most High. Terror. Sheer terror is what you see right here. And fear can be an extremely effective motivator as well. Many of us have experienced something so fearsome that potentially you might have either taken flight or fight. Right? Do you understand the difference? You've had that response. Do you understand fight or flight? When something spooks you, what's your first response? Throw your hands up? Or start swinging all crazy radical? Or you turn around and go pew the other way? You don't have to answer that. I know all of us wants to say, oh, Pastor, we fight. We throw the fists up. Horror, hurrah, hurrah, pounding your chest. But anyways, sometimes you just want to take off. Our terror moves us to take immediate steps to either defend ourselves physically or protect ourselves physically, depending on which reaction you have. However, fear can be a two-edged sword. Though without a doubt it motivates, it can also paralyze us into doing something like rolling ourselves in the fetal position and just do nothing. In relations to God, a most subtle and misleading problem is that because we cannot literally see Him, because we can't physically touch Him, we can't see Him, we do not feel that responding to Him is of immediate concern. Sometimes we feel as though, okay, God is my friend, and they just keep it that way, and God loves me, and all of this, and God is love, and then they dwell on this, and, you know, have you ever been in the presence of someone who just looked very intimidating? Potentially they're taller than you, bigger than you. Maybe they have scars on their face that are very intimidating. Who knows? Whatever. You see this person, you take this image in, then all of a sudden you're scared, you're frightened. But then we don't see God. And a lot of times we skip that fear. In this way, fearing God is not like what our reactions would be if a lion, for example, jumped in front of you. You're going down the pathway and all of a sudden straight out the bushes, rawr. A lion comes out and confronts you, right? Right in the middle of your path. It's not the same. The results, though, can be just as deadly. Just as deadly. The major difference between the situation that you're facing in right now, or whatever the case might be that might bring fear to your heart, and God, the difference between the two is one, and that is timing. That's it. Timing. Because of God's patience, His patience, the end comes more slowly if our reaction is not corrected and no repentance happens. You come across a shark. You come across a lion. You come across a pack of dogs. The timing is different than God's timing. That's immediate. That's right away. Our God is patient. He's going to wait for you to repent. He's going to give you a chance. He'll make sure you have the opportunity to make things right. But nonetheless, our relationship with God may die because of not having the proper fear. Because you know why? What is wrong with not having the proper fear of the Lord? It invites a lack of interest, which I'm personally witnessing a lot within the last year, almost year. A lack of interest comes up. A lack of enthusiasm is a result. And worst of all, procrastination. We procrastinate. Sometimes we have to pound and pound the prayer chain. It is not every month that the list is filled. Just in the fourth quarter, this last 4 months, there was at least 1 month. Yeah, 1 or 2 months that the prayer chain wasn't filled. Lack of enthusiasm, right? You procrastinate, maybe not. Now, there's so many things that we can point the finger to. There's so many things we can say that we can relate to. But I don't want to get off too much off subject here now. The lack of fear of the Lord can have very much negative effect on your spiritual life. Our fear must have enough of an edge that motivates us to correct things, motivates us to come closer to God, to know more about Him, to discover who He is, to go beyond just the pages of the book that you read and actually know the person himself, to meet Him, to understand Him, to speak to Him, to hear His voice. To hear His voice. But not so much that it paralyzes us into doing nothing. We fear God so much that we are stagnant. We can't do anything. But you know, this edge that I'm talking about this evening grows as true knowledge of God is increased. As your walk with God is increased, as you become closer in knowing your God, when He becomes real to you, then something changes. A new appreciation occurs, and true fear of the Lord takes place. Some may think that God does not require us to live in this level of fear. Are you potentially one of those people? Do you feel as though God doesn't require us to live that way or to have this understanding or to be this way? However, trembles in the book of Isaiah. The translator uses the Greek word that describes reverential awe of this edge that I'm preaching about this evening. Let me have that, please, Brother David. Isaiah 66, verses 2. The Word of God says this: "For all those things my hand has made, and all those things exist, says the Lord." But here we go. Here we go. "But on this one will I look, on him who is poor and of a contrite spirit and who trembles at my word, says the Lord of hosts." Notice that the Lord will look on. He will look on. He will see you. He's going to pay attention to you on that person who finds this kind of fear. A contrite spirit, fearful of the Lord. And without the proper fear of God in us, there will be precious return of his love shed abroad in our hearts. All of that. I want to bring to your attention right now Romans chapter 12, verses 1. I beseech you, brethren, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. Romans right now, Romans chapter 12, asserts that overcoming in this way of life requires a sacrifice. What type of sacrifice? A living sacrifice, right? The scripture's still up. "I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living..." You're alive, right? All of us are alive. We live in the land of the living. You are alive. "A living sacrifice." And we all know how costly a sacrifice can be. Because if it's not costly, it's not a sacrifice, is it? What's a costly sacrifice to you? Money? To a lot of people, tithing is like a costly sacrifice. To a lot of people, going beyond tithing is evil. Oh, an offering? A love offering to God? How about your time? To a lot of people, that's a strong sacrifice. "I got so much things I could be doing right now. I need to take care of my house. I need to fix this. I need to fix my garage. I need to fix my basement. I need to fix that leaky roof. I need to work on my car because I need to get to work, Lord." A lot of people don't want to sacrifice their time. Right? But God is saying for us to be a living sacrifice. And we all know how costly that could be. Our worry of making sacrifices required to submit to God's will stops us on occasion, motivating us to draw back from obeying God's word, from obliging to his will. You knowing what you're supposed to do. Here, the problem is fearing the wrong thing. If you have fear, okay, we're talking about fear of the Lord now, but if you have fear that because of your love offering, you will not be able to complete to satisfy your bills at the end of the month, you have fear on the wrong thing. If you fear as though you're not going to meet your deadline by the end of the month, by the end of the week, the end of the quarter, your fear is in the wrong thing. Or whatever the case might be. Sometimes the degree of the fear of God we need approaches sheer terror. You know why? Sometimes we come to the verge of sheer terror. When it comes to the fear of God, because often we are so difficult to convince. Often we are so difficult to leave our ways, to leave what we know, to receive. You can fill in the blank. So the Lord will use something of extravagance to get our attention. And unfortunately, a lot of times, that's your health. A lot of times, when you receive that doctor's report that you got a week, you got 1 week, buddy. Ooh. You want to talk about fear of the Lord? Oh, boy. As fear of the Lord 2.0. Or your job has taken up so much of your time. What happens now when the Lord takes this job? Now you'll be running to the church house asking for prayer. And we will pray for you. Oh, believe me, we are going to pray our socks off for you. Yes, we are. This is what we do. This is what the Bible instructs us to do. And we will intercede for you. But nonetheless, how God uses certain circumstances that oftentimes puts the fear in our heart because we are so difficult to be convinced, to receive from God. However, what is necessary? What is necessary, folks, is an abiding, a reverential awe of our God, awe of our Lord, of our Lord Jesus Christ. This is all we need. Let me bring your attention right now to Luke chapter 1, verses 50. And His mercy is on those who fear Him from generation to generation. The mercy of God. We who fear God, you who fear God, you Christian. A Christian is a person upon whom God has shown mercy. And here Luke also identifies Christians as those who fear God. He is saying right now that if you are a believer, if you are a Christian, you will fear the Lord. And as a result, what's going to happen? God has mercy on you. He's going to see you through. Elsewhere, the Bible identifies Christians as those who fear God. I want you to take a notice right now in Acts chapter 9, verses 31. Listen to what it says. It's very interesting right now. Then the churches throughout all Judea, Galilee, and Samaria had peace and were edified, and walking in the fear of the Lord, and in the comfort, look at that, of the Holy Spirit, they were multiplied. And I stared at this verse, I'll confess, I stared at this verse for a little while, and I was like, wow, one-on-one, this like back-to-back, this summarizes everything of how we should be. And walking in the fear of the Lord and in the comfort of the Holy Spirit. Now you tell me that the fear of the Lord is something horrible. That the Lord's promises isn't true for your particular occasion. Promised Holy Spirit upon you, upon your situation, upon your life. And then later Luke writes this. In Acts chapter 10, verses 22. And they said, Cornelius the centurion, a just man, one who fears God and has a good reputation among all the nation of the Jews, was divinely instructed by a holy angel to summon you to his house and to hear the words from you. Look at that. Cornelius. Cornelius was a Gentile. He wasn't a Jew. Cornelius, a Gentile, prepared for baptism. He is called one who fears God. And that is a beautiful thing. Call me that. Call me that. Pastor Teddy, one who fears God. I'm okay with that. I love it. I love the fear of the Lord. You want to know something striking also? I wonder if most of us have taken the time to note or to notice this particular passage. Let's talk about our Lord Jesus. Let's take a moment to talk about our Lord Jesus right now. Hebrews chapter 5, verses 7. Who, in the days of his flesh, his is capitalized in this version, when he had offered up prayers and supplications with vehement cries and tears to him who was able to save him from death and was heard because of his godly fear. His godly fear. Well, how about that? Even our Lord Jesus, who knew God better than anyone who has ever walked the face of the earth, had godly fear. Feared God. And note the special attention paid to the fact that God answered his prayer, because he did. God answered the prayer of his son. And you know, one thing's for sure, folks. God is holy. God is holy. He is different to a level so far above mankind that those who truly know him, like our Lord Jesus did, but those who seek after his face, those who walk with the Lord, seek him day and night, is after the anointing, after his presence, his Holy Spirit, do not lose the nervousness and do not lose the awe that comes from the privilege of being in the presence of sheer, powerful, pure holiness, which is our God. You know, fear plays a large part in a good relationship with our God. Fear plays a huge, huge part. Oftentimes, and this is just something about Pastor Teddy, I lean towards the side of reverence. I always lean towards the side of reverence. And reverence stems from the fear of the Lord. And originally, it stemmed from a different thing. And that was the rod. Or the belt. Or many of you might know as Easy. You guys remember Easy? Some of you might remember Easy. I remember Easy. Who is Easy? Let me show you Easy. This is Easy. This used to be called Easy. Because it made things so much easier at the end. You say it one time, done. Easy struck the fear in your heart, let me tell you. Oh, yes, it did. So when you come to the church house, you behave. You listen. You don't fall asleep. Or else easy gonna catch you. Yes. Nowadays, I respect those days. Nowadays, I appreciate the fear. Now I don't have a fear of being spanked in the middle, in front of people. Now my fear of God is sheer reverence. When I walk in the house of God, I'm respectful. I pay attention. I'm in my best behavior. I try to put on my best attire, even if it's a pair of jeans and some sneakers. And I've spoken about this in the past, and it was somewhat well taken, and it was not so well taken when I mentioned, as far as my attire is concerned. By all means, don't think as though I discriminate or I talk bad about it or I'm telling you that you're doing something wrong or bad. No. You come as you are. The Lord accepts you and who you are. And your relationship with God is your relationship with God. It's not your relationship with the pastor. Okay? I only speak on my behalf, just on my behalf. If you notice, if you pay attention, every single time you see me, I have a jacket. Right? I have a coat. It might be part of a suit, or I might just be wearing a jacket. I just don't put this on to look cool or for respect. I put this for my God. This is for Him. This is only for Him. But I'm not saying that you should do it. I'm not expecting all of you here to come in sports coats to the next service. Don't take me the wrong way. Okay? Come as you are. But this is just me. This is part of my fear of the Lord, my reverence to God. This fear and this reverence plays a huge part in my relationship with my God, as it should with you, in how you do things, and what is meaningful to you. You know, the first time that the word fear appeared in the context in the Bible was in the book of Genesis. Genesis chapter 3, verses 10. It's interesting how Adam responds to the Lord. He says, verse 10 says, "So he said, I heard your voice in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked, and I hid myself." Interesting enough, this is Adam's response to God. And he uses the term, "I was afraid." Right? And we're talking about fear of the Lord. Right? Yes? Elsewhere, in the English word, fear is a close kindred in many contexts in the biblical form, okay? I'm going to give you a few. It shows up as feared, fearful, fearfully. We all know that term, fearfully, right? Finish the sentence. And wonderfully. Look at those two words together. Fearfully, fearfulness, fearing, and as we just seen right now, afraid. First time it comes in the Bible. These terms appear in the scripture over 720 times. Fear. We tend to be uncertain about fearing God because we think of fear as a negative characteristic. We feel that we should love Him rather than fear Him. Is that what you think this evening? Are those your thoughts? Do you feel as though you should just love God instead of fear God? A lot of people think that way. A lot of people think that this is how it should be. However, as we study God's word and experience life with Him, we come to understand that at the foundation of loving God, godly fear modifies what? Godly fear modifies our highly variable faith. Our highly variable faith in God and love for God in significant ways. If our faith in Him wasn't such a great variable, when we can have faith in Him when all things are going great, but when all things collapse, where's our faith? We panic, we become fearful, we become anxious, we lose sleep. It's like from one extreme to another. If it wasn't such a vast variable, then we wouldn't need it. All of those forms of fear express a wide range of emotions. Feelings such as dread, distress, dismay, trouble, terror, horror, alarm. Or how about awe? How about respect? How about reverence, admiration? May all appear as fear in the scriptures. When someone stood in awe of God's presence, it's a fearful awe, admiration, reverence. If you fear something, there's a good chance that you're going to respect it. There's a good chance I'm going to respect it. You know, if I see an anaconda, a massive anaconda coming my way, I'll be transparent with you. I'm going to be a little bit, right? But I'm not going to be dancing pirouettes around it. I'm going to respect it. Right? See ya. I'm taking flight. That's one occasion that I'm taking flight. I'm not going to fight it. Right? Because I respect it. Me and snakes don't mix. And 9 times out of 10, I'm going to fight. As it's happened several times in my personal home. My new home right now. But not so if I see an anaconda, right? Do you understand what I'm trying to say? When you read the scriptures, when you read the texts, and what it could potentially mean, fear in the scripture, the fear that God desires in us is good. It is positive. It is motivating qualities, motivating you to move closer to God, to be closer to Him, to develop that relationship with Him, for you to be in total awe of the splendor of His beauty. The fear is one that we don't naturally possess. I would like for you to recall Psalms 34, verses 11. Come, you children, listen to me. I will teach you the fear of the Lord. That's a beautiful thing. Let me teach you what it's like to have reverence for the things of God. The Lord is saying, let me show you what is it to walk with God in fear of Him. That's a wonderful thing. Or maybe you might be asking right now, well, Pastor, how do we learn the fear of God. How do I do that? If in case you're asking this question. Well, there's a psalm that gives us an insight in exactly how to do that. That's my final scripture of this evening, and then I'm going to be wrapping up here. Here's how you receive an insight of the fear of God. Psalms 33, verses 8 and 9. Let all the earth fear the Lord. Let all the inhabitants of the world stand in awe of him. Why? For he spoke, and it was done. He commanded, and it stood fast. That's how we grow in awe of God. Knowing what he's done, simply by his word, and it happened. He said it was going to be, and it was. He instructed, he told, and it came to pass. The Bible says it stood. This is how. Godly fear is one of a deep and abiding respect that grows as we learn. As we learn about our God from within a continual, intimate relationship. A relationship has to occur. As we learn of his character, as we learn of his purpose, and as we learn of his power, as we learn of God's might and God's power, we develop an awe and fear of the Lord. Do you fear God? Is the fear of the Lord in your heart? Praise the Lord. Let's conclude with a word of prayer. Lord, we bless your name this evening. Lord, we exalt you. Lord, we love you. Thank you so much, Lord, for being patient with us. A lot of us, Lord, don't understand, don't comprehend, we can't fathom your magnitude, your glory, your power. And thank you, Lord, for being patient with us through it all. And Lord, may our actions, may our behavior, may our drive, our want, may always, Lord, gear towards you. May we love you, Lord, with all of our hearts, with all of our mind, our soul, our strength, with all of who we are, Lord. May we give it to you. Lord, we walk in fear of you. Lord, we love you. Be exalted, Lord, in our lives. We worship you. And it is in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. God bless you.